Social Media Church Podcast, episode number 85. What you're about to listen to is based on a true story, not a list of great imagined ideas. Not that there's anything wrong with that. These are the real conversations with church leaders about social media. This is the Social Media Church Podcast. Hey, my name is DJ Chuang, coming to you from Orange County, California. Thank you for tuning in, and I am your host for this weekly podcast, Social Media Church, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And on this episode, you'll hear my conversation with Haley Vetteris, who is the social media manager at Saddleback Church, pastored by Rick Warren and over a dozen locations around Orange County, online, and around the world. And she is also part of a trio, the Vetteris Sisters, as well as something called Social Ecclesia, a micro-conference that provides training for churches and ministries and organizations wanting to be strategic and systematic in their use of social media. Enjoy this conversation, and I'll see you on the other side. Here's my conversation with Haley Vetteris. Today, I'm honored and privileged to finally connect with Haley Vetteris, one of the three tweeting Vetteris sisters in Orange County, California. Thank you for coming online and connecting for a conversation here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you are legendary because OC Register did a profile on you and your two sisters for being the social media queens of this county. So how did the three of you get into so much social media? Tell us the backstory.
Well, I think it really helps that it's kind of a story that they're sisters. Three of us are all present on social media. I know that my sisters, who are both married, they're older and younger, their husbands, like, could care less about social media, not connected to the digital world. And so I think it's a good, healthy balance. But the three of us are very connected. I probably got on Facebook before the other two. My ex-boyfriend went to Stanford, and he was like, hey, you got to get on this site. So I feel like I was a very early adapter because I had that in. I didn't have any friends of mine on Facebook, so I was adding all his friends from Stanford because they were the only other people to be connected to. And then Rochelle got on Twitter first, and she let me know about it, and we went to a tweet up in Las Vegas. I think it was around Blog World, and we got to meet Scott Stratton and went to a private event with him, and just the mind power in the room back then. We didn't even realize who we were sitting across the table from because I was just like a college girl and my older sister was just out of college. So we brought my younger sister along, even though she didn't have a Twitter handle, and convinced her to set one up. Twitter was something we really loved and adapted because we were able to connect with people. And we threw one of the first tweet ups in Orange County at Pepino's that used to be in Sand Canyon. And we thought maybe 40 people will come. And we had over 100, and I think it was around 150 that showed up. So it was pretty cool because, you know, you're connected with people online, but to meet them in person is a whole nother thing. And what we found was the people that we met were exactly the same as they were online. And they were some of the most genuine, kind people out there. So we love the relationships we've been able to build through Twitter, online, and just across all the channels. Oh, and Chelsea is I should call her the YouTube queen, my younger sister. She has worked really hard at figuring out how to make her channel work for her and helping other clients do that.
Describe as your preferred channel out of all the different networks.
To date or when I started?
Currently, because it's always moving, right? Twitter, right. Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Pinterest, blah, 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 right?
To this day, when I went to Kenya last year and I had to take a digital fast, I tried not to. I tried to have the plan where I was connected. But, you know, there are just some parts of Africa where no matter how much money you pay for that coverage, it's just not going to reach. So I was disconnected. It was my digital fast. And I missed Instagram the most of all the social networks. So Instagram has my heart at the moment. but I love all the others as well.
Well, Facebook certainly values Instagram too, paying over $1 billion for that platform. And
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's, and I follow your Instagram. It's great to see kind of an inside look at what life is like for you, and you've been working out CrossFit like crazy. And it's like, yeah, we get to know.
Yeah, my Instagram, you'll find CrossFit, coffee, and Kennedy. So it's CC and K.
Awesome.
My little niece.
Yeah, so you've done a lot of good things for social media for Orange County. How did you get connected to Saddleback Church? Because that's an enviable position to be, get paid for being a social media manager.
Right. Well, this position didn't exist in its state that I'm in today. And I couldn't tell you exactly how all the puzzle pieces fit together, except for that God was the one putting that puzzle together. I started out getting, I did 5 internships in college. I knew I loved the media. I just didn't know where. And social media really wasn't a thing then when I was going through school. So I was a communications major with an emphasis in media studies and minor in television and film. So I did everything from journalism to advertising to television production to public relations work, and finally ended up with a news internship at Fox 6 News in San Diego. The affiliate Fox moved to Channel 5 now, so they're not Fox 6 anymore, but they were. And I loved the news. I loved how fast-paced it was. I loved that you shared in real time what was happening, packaged the stories for night. And I loved just every aspect of that and the adrenaline rush that you got. So I thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my favorite of all my internships. This fits. And I wanted to be an executive producer for a broadcast news program. But as I started to pursue that, these doors started closing, and it wasn't like I wasn't trying hard, because I was trying very hard and I was very well connected, but God was just saying, this is not what I want you to do. And he kind of put me over here to the side for a little bit, kind of like Christine King talked about at Catalyst, in the dark room. I was in a dark room for a year, and my prayer was just, God, I went to school for all this. What do you want me to do now? It just seems like there was no opportunity. So he showed me that I was happiest before when I was serving in ministry. So I got back into serving, and I was like, I'll do one day a week and that's it. And people on the high school team opened up a position where I could teach students how to produce the services live. So it kind of tied in my news background. So I was like, that's awesome. So then I started working all the weekend services for high school ministry, 2 on Saturday night, 2 on Sunday morning. Every single weekend, I told them, I'll be here unless you hear from me otherwise. And then serving my small group once a week, leading a high school girls group. And then that slowly, God was transforming my heart and moving me towards full-time ministry, which I couldn't see at the time. And then I realized my call to ministry, and it was confirmed by our high school pastor. And then 2 weeks later, I started the 2-year internship program here. About a year and a half into that, I moved from our high school team into one of our regional campuses for church planting. And that's when God was shaping my heart to minister to adults. Because students are easy. They'll love you. You got to get under the hood for the most part, but they will love you unconditionally. Adults are a little more difficult because they're kind of set in their ways. So God was showing me how to do that then and how to care for the church plant. Those people do every single thing. They're not as, I would say they are blessed, but it's not like they're in a niche position where they just focus on social media or just focus on, like, our team downstairs, pastoral care. They're doing all of it. And so it's tiring, but it is very, very rewarding. And then at the end of that internship, our communications pastor reached out. We were in a staff group together, and he said, hey, like, what are your plans now? And I just said, you know, I don't know. Like, whatever God opens the door for, wherever he wants to guide is where I'll go. And my communications pastor said, well, I have a spot for you, and it's 1/3 social media, volunteer coordinating, and then just kind of doing a little admin work for our communications team. And I was like, I love volunteers. I love social media. I'm good at admin-y stuff, but I don't love it as much. So I accepted and just felt like God really created that position for me. And then as we got our marketing director, he said, you can be doing this, 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 and this. And I said, and I can be doing this, 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 and this if you remove the other 2 things off the plate. And he's like, I would love to get us going. And I really see believe that social is the future and is a main communication channel for the church, and I'd love to see Saddleback take off with that. And I said, I would love to take off with that. So created the social media manager position, and here I am today. Sorry for that whole history of my life.
Now, is that are you still social media 1/3 of your time, or has it become 100%? Because it's, I mean,
in the last 2 years, it's been 100% of my time.
Wow, we are so jealous, and we're happy for you.
Thank you.
Working with those who rejoice. So, in that time, I'd imagine your social media strategy has evolved and grown, because social media is constantly growing. So, if you can give us a snapshot of what it looked like at the beginning, and then what it looks like now, that'd be awesome.
Right. At the beginning, our online campus pastor, Jay Cranda, he was running the channels, and that wasn't even his full-time job either. It was just kind of like, oh, you're a digital guy. Here, go. And so those channels were going, and there was a social media team. And so at the beginning, I was just trying to figure out what we were doing with the channels before and just kind of trying to evaluate to see how effective was that strategy. There was, it really wasn't a strategy in place as far as posting. It was just kind of posting things and coordinating with some volunteers to post. So it was just really stepping back and reevaluating. And I was going through seminary at the same time, and yeah, full time while I was working full time, which was awesome. But in my New Testament class, we had to read the New Testament, each book, in two different versions of the Bible or translations to get, let the word really sink. And as I was reading through the New Testament twice, the Lord just showed me the ministry of Jesus and how he interacted with people. And he really put that on my heart while I was reading and just showed me that, you know, Jesus did three things. He connected with people on a personal level. He taught them about ministry and the opportunity that he had. And then he shared with him opportunity to go and serve further into his kingdom and to be part of his plan to follow him. And so those are just the three words that are our social media strategy at Saddleback Church: connect, teach, and share. Connecting with people, engaging with people to show them we care about people first. We love God and we love people, and we show them that we love God by loving people. Teaching them is just educating members with the great content from our teaching pastors. Pastor Rick always says you have to say things twice for people to understand it, for it to really sink in. So they hear it on the weekend, ideally, and then we'll reinforce it throughout the week so people remember what they heard. You don't need to reinvent the wheel with content, because you have speaking pastors at your churches that provide great content every weekend. So just take those notes and share that throughout the week. And then the last one is exposing people to ministry opportunity. And this is where I feel like most churches get stuck. That's the only one they want to share, because there's so many great opportunities to serve at our churches. You know, Saddleback has over 500 ministries. I could be posting 100 things a day for what we're doing, but how effective is that on social? Not very effective is what we found. So it's a wonderful, beautiful marriage between the three. You're grabbing people because you're showing them that you care. You're keeping them with your great content, and then you're showing them how else they can be involved. And that's what we do at Saddleback.
Same plan. And yeah. You're with one of the most influential churches in the country and the world. So people really would love to learn from your church and what's worked for you. We hear Pastor Rick Warren often talking about Twitter, and that seems to be a medium that fits him really well, because he thinks in terms of sound bites, 140 tweets or 140 character tweets.
Yes, I always say I'm blessed to work for Pastor Rick because I love Twitter and he speaks in tweets. So it's perfect.
Yeah. And so you definitely have the content side, and we see plenty of that. What does connecting and caring look like, and what does the service opportunities look like?
For sure. Well, connecting is something that I'm really passionate about. We are a mega church, so it's really hard to get all the way down to the individual to show them that we care about you, because it's easy to walk onto our campus and feel like a number or just blend into the crowd. I see a lot on social that this is like the Disneyland of churches, because we have our Disney trams and all that stuff. And it is a big space, but I think Disney also does a really good job at making you feel like you're having an experience. You're in the Magic Kingdom. It's supposed to be a magical day. even the interactions with staff members. So I, as much work as I can do on social, I think our guest services, it needs to reflect that through them and through greeting people and caring for people that way. But for social, how do we do that is through Twitter and Instagram, we really try to follow our followers back. I went on today, this morning, before my dental appointment, and you know, that's something that I had maybe my intern do, because it's a little bit easy, but I really tell them to try to read the profiles. We have our little rule, no photo, no bio equals no follow. So if they don't have time to do that, sorry, we don't have time to follow you back because we don't know who you are. We want to follow people we know we can communicate with and know who they are. But so I was going through and just clicking and following people back at Saddleback Church. And already this morning, I saw so many responses from people that were like, thank you so much for following me back. So it matters to people on some level, I believe. And, you know, we're not here to impress people with the number of followers we have. We're here to engage with them. And so I always say I'm the only one doing the main Saddleback brand accounts, those channels. I can't promise a response right away, but we can promise that we'll respond within the day, within 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, but we really try for within that day to respond to people who interact and engage with us. So we interact and engage and we follow them back. On Facebook, we like their comment. We try to respond to comments when people have questions or direct them in the right places. So it's just letting people know that they're heard. This is a channel where people can, for the first time, interact and engage with a church, or you can interact and engage with a business. And businesses are doing it really well for the most part, some of the top ones that we follow. Churches should be doing it better, in my opinion.
A leading example, and thank you for sharing a bit of what that looks like. It sounds like there's a customer service element.
Absolutely.
Where you're being responsive. So people are not hanging on to voicemail and trying to figure out what to punch and code to reach people. Twitter really opens that up, as well as Facebook. And then you definitely have the content that's compelling and helps people engage with the message. And then you're following back to show a gesture of, hey, we want to be listening to you as well. That's mm-hmm. awesome. And then let's talk about the other, the third piece of your strategy.
Share.
Which is share.
Share is...
And serve. I think you said serve, too.
Just showing people the serving opportunities, how they can serve and get involved, or even just what's happening at Saddleback. So the share posts, I work in cooperation with our marketing team. I'm technically part of the marketing department, and so I sit with our marketing coordinator, and she is like air traffic control for Saddleback Church. All the opportunities that people want to communicate out to the church come to her, and then she filters them and sends them to the correct communication channel. And Facebook and Twitter are included in that. So when we make a marketing campaign, Facebook and Twitter will always be included, YouTube as well, all of the channels. We create social shares for Instagram, which will go on Facebook and Twitter, and even Pinterest. So you can go, anybody can go to saddleback.com/weeps, W-E-A-P-S, and you can see our full marketing calendar there, down to the campus. DJ's like, I'm going right now. It's a little overwhelming.
In the show notes, so thank you.
It's a little overwhelming, but yeah, that's where things are scheduled. And you will see on Facebook, there's only 5 spots. So for the main Saddleback brand channel, that's something that we can communicate to anybody at Saddleback Church, whether you call Saddleback your home and you watch from your Roku channel each week, or you watch online and you're a member of Saddleback Church, doesn't matter where you are, this is what's going to communicate to our one church, many locations. Now down to the location channels, like Los Angeles now, launching soon, Lake Forest, Corona, Irvine, all those campuses, they can communicate more specifically for their campus, what's happening at their campus on those channels. But on the main channel, there's only 5 spots, 1 per day, because we don't want to just show people what we're doing. We want people to see the posts. And if all we're doing is posting shared posts, is what we call them, like advertising type posts, people aren't really going to interact and engage with it. Let's say there's a financial workshop that we're doing, and let's say, DJ, your finances are fine, so you're going to tune that out. You probably won't like, comment, or share that post, so you won't be seeing that. But maybe some of the content earlier in the day reached you, so you like, commented, and shared on that. And then because you interact and engage with us, you'll most likely see that share piece. So if all you're doing is posting niche events that don't apply to everybody, you're going to slowly really be losing those eyes on your posts, at least on Facebook. It's the algorithm game. I wish they didn't have to play it, but because so many companies and organizations are getting involved on social media, that's creating just a real crowded environment on Facebook. And, you know, everybody has their feelings about Facebook, but they are trying to still protect the user and not just flood them with all those company posts and pages that they like, and just to keep engaging them with great content that the user will like to see.
Last year, Facebook has made at least two big adjustments to their EdgeRank algorithm, which filters the content into a user's newsfeed. I mean, average person has 120 friends, and let's say they like 50 pages. And there's no way all that content that comes from all those places can fit into a home feed. And so EdgeRank is necessary to keep our sanity and, mm-hmm. and to give us content that each person would be most interested in. Have you adjusted your algorithm for posting content so that your content can get through? And how much would you spend in terms of advertising so that you boost your posts and photos and so on?
Well, it's a really interesting question. We really don't have a budget for social. We started to we do for Easter and Christmas times, of course. We want Beyond Saddleback community to see these posts and to be invited and to know that they have a place to go to. But a friend of mine said, you know, like if you start to invest a little bit a week on just some of your posts, it will make a big difference. And, you know, I read an article that said you have to play the advertising game now. You have to invest some sort of money at this point for people to be seeing your post to really still have a say out there. So, yes, I can't change the content because I know it comes from our weekend, from our teaching pastors. But I can try to pick the most relevant pieces that are being shared the most. I just was recently looking at our reports for Twitter to see like which tweets got retweeted the most this weekend and which pieces people were really interacting with and feeling the need to share. And so those quotes will be the ones that now become social shares throughout the week versus just ones that I like personally or that I want to share. So I guess the people are going to be demanding it more, and that's what we'll be sharing, stuff that's relevant to our community. And it's not that it wasn't before, but maybe it was just a really great soundbite that I got, but people didn't connect with. So now the ones that people are connecting with better will be the ones that we'll be sharing. And, you know, it's always an experiment. I say no one can ever have it 100% right. And it's really what works for you and your community. You really need to know your audience. And knowing your audience is knowing that when I'm on Facebook, it's a different community than when I'm on Twitter. So I can't treat them the same. I can't send the exact same message out to each. Even on Instagram, it's a different community there. Some of them like more hashtags. Some of them don't. But you have to really just work with that yourself and analyze your community, see what time is the best to post throughout the day. Really utilize the tools that are out there because they really do help. I also like to tell churches and communities, you know, with knowing your audience, you don't have to be present on every single channel. Be present on the channel where your community is. Jesus went and fished where the people were. He didn't go and create something else. He fished where the people were. He went where there was ministry opportunity. So know your community, know what channel is the best. Also pastors too. I had one of our local our pastor of disaster is what we like to call Pastor Steve, pastor of disaster relief. He said, you know, Pastor Rick told all of us to get on Twitter, but I'm a Facebook guy. I love Facebook and I love posting onto there the images from his trips to Rwanda, to all the disaster sites. I went with him to Oklahoma City and I said, you know what? You are great at posting on Facebook. Stick with Facebook. Pastor Rick is great at Twitter. He's great at Instagram. Well, he's getting better at Instagram now. He loves Instagram and sharing images. So stick with what you're good at. Don't, if you're not going to have a great presence on the other channels, don't have one at all, because it's not worth anybody's time.
As master one channel before you go on to two or three.
And go where the people are in your community or the people you want to reach are.
Bingo. Awesome. Wow. There's so much more I want to ask about Saddleback, but I want to value your time and also hand people off to you when you have opportunities to connect with them too. And you've made time and energy out of your very full schedule to help the church at large too through something called Social Ecclesia. So tell us about the genesis of that and what you're trying to do to help churches everywhere.
Yes. Social Ecclesia is my passion project. And it was started by Carrie Kintz from Focus on the Family and Benjamin Clark Campbell, or Clark Campbell, I should call him, from the Church of God denomination. He helps run the channel there in Pathway Press. And we connected through this Best of Social Media group that we were in and just really felt a calling to help the Big C church. And we run these channels and we have more resources than smaller to medium to smaller sized churches do. And we were looking for a church conference about social to go to. And when we didn't find one, we wondered, like, what are these smaller churches doing that have less resources than we do? And we know that we've been blessed with the opportunities we've had for a reason. And Pastor Rick always says, you're a blessing to bless others. So we really took that to heart and wanted to form something where we could help churches have a spirit-led digital presence and to do that with excellence. Because we're representing the church, we should have the best presence on social media. We should be the best at loving people and connecting with them and engaging with them online. And that's all about what social media is about, is engaging with people. So we started this micro conference called Social Ecclesia. And the first one was in Chattanooga in January. The last one was in Atlanta last month. And the next one is, you can go to socialecclesia.com and look at the next location. But yeah, it's a micro conference all day. And we just have, we've been switching the lineup of speakers a little bit each time. And it just keeps getting better and better. And I've heard some of the talks multiple times, but there, I just can't, I keep walking away with my mind so full, my heart full too, from all the connections with people that I've been able to make. And I told somebody, I'm like, I need to not pay attention during all the talks right before I go on stage because my mind is just so full with what everyone else is saying. I almost get up there and I'm like, what do I have to say? Oh, yeah, my whole talk. So it's just been such a blessing to connect with church leaders, lots of church planters out there utilizing social media to plant their startup churches. And lots of churches that come to us and say, you know, we're dying and we know that we have to adapt this or we're going to fade out. So it's been such a blessing. I really would encourage anyone out there to go check it out. You can also watch the talks online by getting a VIP pass, and they're up there to watch.
June 5th to the 7th in Griffin, Georgia.
Griffin, that's where it is.
And your speakers will be the best when they are announced.
Yeah, we're still finalizing some speakers for then, but I will be there. I can tell you that.
Let's close with a dream for Saddleback. Where do you see social media really empowering people at your campuses and around the world?
Oh, wow. That's a big question, DJ.
I'm a big ideas guy.
I love it.
Or what's the next thing you're working on?
Well, around the world is exactly it. We are, as we launch more locations globally for Saddleback, to not to be a global church just for the sake of it, but to reach the unreached people groups. That is our mission, is to fulfill the Great Commission. And we've been to every nation, and now we have those unreached people groups that still need to hear the word of God. And the faster we do that, the faster Jesus can come back and take us from this sinful place. So it's just been super interesting planting Berlin and Hong Kong and Buenos Aires and learning what social channels have been working best for them and which ones don't. But what's been awesome is the language of love doesn't change worldwide. Berlin has been standing out for their love, Hong Kong for their love, Buenos Aires for just showing people with even just a paper flyer, we love you so much, we printed this out to invite you to church. That was just something that was never heard of then. So moving that love online for to connect us as a true church of one church, many locations. We've learned a lot from launching those, and we're learning a lot as we launch South Manila in July and Los Angeles this spring. But I guess just God's love, being transparent, and that voice being consistent as Saddleback Church across all the channels. That's what I'm working really hard to help that happen, but that's what I would love to see happen. It just takes off, and people know Saddleback for their love digitally and in person.
Just said something about that they will know that we are his disciples by our love.
Yes.
So wonderful. Thank you, Haley Veras. Thank you for your work at Social Ecclesia. We'll add a link in the show notes and invite people there too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, DJ. It was so great to talk to you.
Thank you to Haley Veras for joining us on the Social Media Church podcast. And you can check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for how you can connect with Haley. And you'll definitely want to check out Social Ecclesia for a great resource for churches and ministries doing social media with excellence. Their next event is June 5th in Griffin, Georgia. And you can go to their website for all the details and to register. Or if you're not able to get to Georgia on that date, you can check out their All Access Pass from wherever you are. Social Ecclesia, that's two C's and one S for spelling Ecclesia. SocialEcclesia.com. As we enter the month of May, during the past month of April, it's church conference season, so I've had quite a number of conversations with church leaders about social media offline. And I wanted to share with you two of the thoughts that have kind of percolated to the top of mind. One related to this conversation that you just heard is the organizational and the organic dynamic of social media. Now, when you're managing the social media communication channels for a large church like Saddleback or anything over 1,000, you've really got to be systematic and develop a process and a schedule to manage the organizational message and to make sure all of it is consistent and coherent and aligned. And on the organic side, if you have a smaller church or if your organizational side of the church and ministry allows more of the personal voice to be part of the mix, then you can have a much more dynamic and spontaneous approach to social media. I was just listening to a podcast from the Podcast Answer Man, one of the most popular podcasts out there about podcasting, and he was describing the relational approach to social media. And for that approach, it's very much real time and responding to people's comments and listening to what they're saying and joining their conversation more so than you as an organization or as a person pushing your own products or services or messages or stuff like that. And so social media has this elastic dynamic, back and forth, organizational and organic. And now this emerging development of the professional and the personal. And on the professional side, we touched on it a little bit two episodes back with Kevin Hendricks over at the Center for Church Communications. And I think it was during that episode when I asked, you know, how large does your church need to be before really investing in a communication director? And the number is somewhere in the 1,000 to 2,000 range. And communication is such a multi-channel effort for larger churches. It's becoming as vital as what happens in the pulpit where your Sunday sermon communication happens. It is now a 24/7 world where communication is happening all the time. And for you as church leaders, you've got to be conscious of how that comes across in the public square, because no longer is communication contained within the walls of your church. Practically speaking, communication is happening everywhere all the time in the public square. And one of the articles that came out last month that I'll direct your attention to is by Tom Rayner, who is the president of Lifeway Christian Resources. And he described 7 reasons your church needs a social media director. And in the caveat at the beginning, for the majority of churches, this person will be an unpaid volunteer. Communication using traditional media and social media is such a vital part of how we connect with people in today's culture. And he offers 7 key reasons churches need one individual to coordinate and lead social media for the congregation. I'm just going to read the list real quick and then check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net so you can read the entire article and maybe chime in with your comments. So here's the 7 reasons. Number 1, social media is fast becoming a preferred method of communication. Number 2, having one individual lead social media will avoid the pitfalls of mixed messages. Number 3, a congregation's social media expressions need a consistent voice. Number 4, a good social media director understands the language of the people. Number 5, one person acting as social media director can help give priority to the different messages the church needs to send. Number 6, a social media director can help find the church's sweet spot in social media. And number 7, effective social media needs ongoing attention. And Tom Rayner closes out with this question on his blog post. What do you think about having a social media director as a key ministry position in churches? Great question. And you can chime in over there, or you can chime in here at the Social Media Church podcast. I certainly love to hear from you on Twitter, Facebook, even email, or you can text in your comments if you want to use your smartphone and text right in, or even a dumb phone will do it. The number to text in is 94935432 16. Let me know what you think about having a social media director at your church and what's working for you and what questions you have. And we'll do our best to find the answer for you. And that's what I love about this place for conversations with church leaders about social media. I was exploring the difference between conversations and interviews. And I think I gravitated towards the notion of a conversation because that's more open-ended. And interviews tend to be a platform where you put the expert on the platform and the expert will dispense the practical or the insights that he or she has already developed. Whereas a conversation is, hey, we're in this journey together trying to find the answers. We don't want to just deliver answers. We want to walk alongside of you as a church leader, figuring out how social media can be more impacting and make more of a difference in our lives as a community of faith for the sake of the gospel. And that's why I'm so intent on using the word conversations so that we can talk together, learn from each other, and develop social media as a church to its fuller potential, because I don't think we're there. We're still tending to use social media as a broadcast medium, and there's a whole history of how churches have used all kinds of media throughout the ages for broadcasting, because, hey, after all, we have the Bible, and that's the answer for life, right? Well, that's half of it. The other half is how we are in conversation with each other, building relationships so that we speak into each other's lives. And I think there's a whole nother frontier for social media to be developed by churches so that churches become the equipper and the empowering and the trainer for the individuals in their churches to exercise their voice and to develop their voices. So rather than just relying on the senior pastor or the teaching team to exercise their gift and their voice in sharing the gospel of Christ, if you have 100 people in your church, those 100 people have their individual stories of how the gospel has made a difference in their lives, and social media gives each of them a voice and an outlet in the public square to share their story of God's work in their lives. And that has just as much potential, if not more, to reach hundreds of thousands of people around the world. It's the dynamic of social media. And that's the frontier that I would love to explore more with you. But at this point, let me wrap up this episode, number 85 of the Social Media Church podcast. Connect with us and subscribe at socialmediachurch.net so that you can join and continue this conversation with us. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.